It's an amazing story. There's so much, as we think of God coming to earth, of the miraculous that took place. If you really just sit and meditate about the goodness of the Lord, how He came to earth for you and I, how He got here, how He left here, how He sent His Holy Spirit, it is so amazing. So amazing. I went into the office on Thursday and I shared with Laura. I said, you know, I believe the title of my message this week is amazing. I just couldn't think of any other word. Amazing. Amazing. Let that amazing grow in your heart and your mind of who God is and what He's done in your life. Let's pray today. Lord, thank You for this group that You have gathered here today. Holy Spirit, You are our teacher. Your word says You will lead us and guide us into all truth. Thank You for Your presence today. Minister and teach every person in this place. And we thank You for it in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. God is so amazing. If you need a message outline this morning, would you raise your hand? And the ushers will serve you right up here, Brother Scott. We welcome our friends and guests once again in our River of Life family. Pray for those that are away, those that are sick today. It's amazing what God is doing at the River of Life. When I think about everything that God has done for this congregation, because we are a group of people who are faithful. We're faithful to do what He's asked us to do. And God is faithful in return to give us what we need. Amen? Hallelujah. I sure missed Brother Dan today on his electric guitar and Pastor Lisa's voice. But God is here in the midst of everything. You know, it's all about bringing what you have and presenting it to the Lord. There's always going to be things in our life we don't have. And if we look at what we don't have, we're never going to get to where we're supposed to be going. Because we're so focused on the lack instead of on God's gracious provision for us. Amen? God is so good. He's amazing. Can we shout it? Amazing. Let's do it again. Amazing. Oh, Lord, let that grow in our hearts. Today is the second week of Advent, and we have a tradition at River of Life that during this season, we light a candle each week to keep us focused on the light of the world, to keep us focused on the reason that we have Christmas. And so this second candle is called the Bethlehem candle, and it's also called the candle of the way. And it's the candle that reminds us how God came to this earth in a very humble manner. In Micah 5:2, the scripture says, "But you, Bethlehem Ephratah, though you are little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of you shall come forth to me the one to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth are from of old and from everlasting." It's amazing that in Micah 5:2, it is prophesied that the Messiah would be born in Bethlehem. 700 years before He was born, the Holy Spirit prophesied that He would come and exactly where He would be born, and that He would be from everlasting. Did you catch that? Whose goings forth are from of old, from everlasting. Amazing. In John 1:14, the scripture says, "Jesus, the Son of God, was from everlasting. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." And in verse 14, "The Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us. We have seen His glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth." Amazing! Jesus came from the Father, and He is from everlasting. And He came to this earth, was born of a woman. Think about it. It's amazing that he would leave his home in heaven. You see, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, because the Word came to make a way for us to get back to the Father. Thank you, Lord. It is amazing. Our salvation is so amazing. Hallelujah. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but thank God, now I see. Help us to see this morning. Help us to see how amazing you are, how great you are in our lives. In Luke chapter 2, verse 11 and verse 15, the angels told the shepherds, "Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem to see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." Amazing that the angels announced his birth in Bethlehem to the shepherds. Amazing that the shepherds didn't worship the angels or run after the angels or go, "Oh, is that my angel? What's your name? I want you for myself." Have you heard that teaching going through the body of Christ? Come on. The shepherds said, "Oh, where is the Savior? I'm going to go see about what the Lord has spoken to us." You see, their focus was on God. It wasn't on the angels that he sent. But it was to get to Bethlehem to find the Savior, Christ the King. Amazing that the shepherds heard the announcement, the humble, the lowly. The Bethlehem candle represents how God came in a humble, lowly way, born in a manger in Bethlehem. Amazing. Something else I learned this week. Bethlehem actually means, the word means house of bread. House of bread. And Jesus said in 6:35, Jesus declared, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry, and he who believes in me will never be thirsty." So the bread of life was born in the town that's the house of bread. The bread of life was born in the house of bread. Think about that. That's amazing. Only God would put that together. Only God would put that together 700 years before. Actually, Jesus was slain before the foundations of the world. So from eternity, you see, it's so amazing. It's difficult for our minds to wrap around how great God is. How great God is. And sometimes I think we just shut down our thinking because it becomes too much for us. But that's when we say, "Holy Spirit, reveal to us by your spirit of revelation who God is. Help me to understand how amazing he is." Let's go on. Another amazing point. John 14, verses 1 through 6. Jesus said, "I'm the way and the truth and the light," the life. And I thought of this verse when I remembered the Bethlehem candle also means the candle of the way. So let's look at John 14, 1 through 6. The verse says, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way, you know. And Thomas spoke up. Do you remember doubting Thomas? Thomas spoke up and he said, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? And Jesus said to him, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. And no man comes to the Father but by me. Hallelujah. Let not your heart be troubled. If you believe in God, believe also in me. Thank you, Lord, that you have gone to prepare a place for us. And someday, each one of us will get to see that place. We'll step from this life into the next life, into the place that God has prepared for us. While we're walking on this earth, we need to know the way. We need to know the truth. And through that, we have life. Not only in the next world, but in this world right now. And we're going to look at that. The definition and the meaning of the way in the Greek, it's defined as progress, a road going somewhere. When you follow Jesus, you make progress because you are on the road going somewhere. Isn't that good to know? We might not understand why things are happening in our life. We might not understand why a loved one is sick or why someone passed away. We may not understand at today why we don't have a job, why we're in financial difficulty. But Jesus said, get on the road. I am the way, and I will lead you on a road going somewhere. God has a destiny for us. He has a destination for each one of us. Our life is planned out every day. God has planned it because he's molding us and he's making us into who he has designed us to be. Some of us resist a little bit more. Is that right? You're smiling at me. And you moan and you groan. Hallelujah. But you know what? God doesn't give up on us. He keeps working on us. You know, he keeps... Yeah, it's amazing. Isn't it amazing? He doesn't give up on us. He keeps working on us because he's the way, and we're on the road going somewhere. We're making progress. Tell your neighbor, I'm making progress. Did you all tell somebody I'm making progress? Come on, by faith, we're gonna prophetically speak that out and say, I am making progress. I'm on a road going somewhere. Amen. Shirley's going to let everybody know. I am making progress. Thank you, Lord. In the Old Testament, the word is used many times about obeying God's will and following his commandments. In Deuteronomy 5:33, it says, walk in the way that the Lord your God has commanded you so that you may live and prosper and prolong your days in the land that you will possess. Tell someone, I will possess my inheritance. Deuteronomy 8:6 says, observe the commands of the Lord your God, walking in his ways and revering him. Today there is just a sweet reverence of the Lord. Do you sense that? A sweet reverence of the Lord. We're pretty quiet today. Normally we're pretty noisy, radical, loud, praising group, you know? But this, yes, amen. But this morning, it's just a little different. Because we walk in the fear of the Lord. And we reverence him. And today we are meditating on how amazing he is that he would come to earth in such a humble manner. To show us the way and to show us the truth and to show us the light. In Revelation 3:8, God said, I open doors that no man can open. And I close doors that no man can close. Because God is the way. So you see, when we're walking down that road going somewhere, God's going to open the right doors for us. He's going to open the, and His favor's upon your life. Tell your neighbor, I got favor. I've got favor. He'll open that door. And no man can shut it. But you know what? People will stand back and say, how'd she get that job? Or why'd Jeff get all those promotions? We heard about Jeff's promotions last week. Yes. Hallelujah. Amazing testimonies last week. Because God's the way. He's opening doors for us. And we're making progress. Tell somebody you're making progress. You're making progress. Jesus is the truth. Let's take a look at that. The truth defined is truthfulness, dependability, uprightness in thought, and deed of God and of men. John used the word truth 20 times in his book, and it's used over 100 times in the New Testament. Truth is also the seal of God. Truth seals us. Let's take a look at that. It's amazing. Tell someone it's amazing. The Holy Spirit guides us into all truth. The Holy Spirit guides us into all truth. I find that really amazing. Isn't that amazing? Because we might think that we know something that is true, and then it really isn't quite true. Have you ever been in that situation? Somebody told you something, you interpreted it as truth, and then you found out it wasn't true? That never happens with the Holy Spirit. That never, isn't that amazing? It's hard to, the Word of God, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and this Word is truth. This is truth. We can count on this. I shared a few weeks ago, we used to say you can take it to the bank, and we're not so sure we can take it. That's a good illustration anymore about taking it to the bank. But hallelujah, it's amazing. God's word is true, and it doesn't change. The gold standard has changed in America, but God's word, it does not change. It's pure gold. Hallelujah, it's still the standard. Let's go to John 16, 13 through 14. But when He, the Spirit of truth, comes, He will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on His own. He will speak only what He hears, and He will tell you what is to come. Did you get that? You're on a road making progress, going somewhere. And when you need to know, the Holy Spirit is going to let you know. How many want to know ahead of time? We all want to know ahead of time. But the Holy Spirit will speak to us from the Father. He doesn't speak on His own. He speaks what the Father tells Him. And He will let us know what is to come. He will bring glory to Me by taking from what is Mine and making it known to you. You want to be in the know? You're not going to find it on CNN or Fox News. Come on. If you really want to know what's going on behind the scenes, then you spend some time with the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit leads us and guides us in all truth. And we must get in the Word every day. Because you know what? Without the Holy Spirit present in our life, without the truth in our life, we will not have an understanding of how to live. And we are in perilous times. Perilous time. Our heart goes out to those who have been affected by the terrorist acts. And glad they finally called it what it really was. Hallelujah. Amazing! The truth finally comes out. And more truth is coming out. But we live in perilous times. And we need to be in the know. We do need to be in the know. So we do listen to the news, but we don't let the news grab a hold of us that we walk in fear. Amen? We will not walk in fear, because greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Hallelujah. We're on a road making progress, going somewhere. And I'm glad I'm on the road with all of you. You're amazing. When I hear about the testimonies and what God is doing in your life, it just thrills me. God brought us together for purpose. Let's see what Ephesians 1, 13 through 14 says. And you also were included in Christ. I'm glad I'm included. When you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, having believed, you were marked in him with a seal. Tell somebody, I'm marked with a seal. And that seal is the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance. Our inheritance is guaranteed. Our inheritance is guaranteed. You may make investments in this world, but you can't totally guarantee those. But you know, whatever you invest in the kingdom of God, whatever you invest in this life, you are guaranteed an inheritance. Interest and income. Checks in the mail. Bills paid off. Royalties received. Raises and bonuses. Debts demolished. Praise God, it's offering time. We're getting it memorized, aren't we? We've only been saying it for, what, 15 years or so? But it's coming to pass in our lives. It is coming to pass in our lives. Amazing. The gospel of your salvation. The gospel is the good news. It's the good news of the kingdom. The gospel is the good news of the government of God. I live under a different government. You live under a different government? God's government is of peace. The scripture says of his government there will be no end. There's no end to the peace of God. Yeah, hallelujah. Amazing. Amazing. We have an inheritance because we have believed the good news of the gospel. In Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord. All right. This is acting up on me. Oh, there it is. So Jesus said he's the life, right? I'm the way. We looked at the truth, and he is the life. The Greek word for life is zoe. It means meaningful life, real life, abundant life. John 20, 30 through 31 says, Jesus did many other miraculous signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ and the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. Amazing. By believing in Jesus Christ, the Son of God, we have life. You see, God didn't make it hard for us. It's simply a matter of yielding our hearts and our will to the Lord. Say, I believe. Someone is calling me. I am declining the call. It's nobody that knows me because they know I preach on Sunday morning. Oh. Definition of life. It means a life of sustenance, a supernatural life belonging to God in Christ, which believers have in the future and have right now. Life in Christ. Let's go to John 10, 7 through 9. Jesus said, I tell you the truth. Aren't you glad he tells the truth? Yeah. I am the gate for the sheep. Say, bah. Bah. I am the gate for the sheep. All who came before me were thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. He will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. Full means abundant. More abundantly. Advantage. It's life with the advantage. You have an advantage when you serve Jesus Christ. We have an advantage in this life because God is on our side. And he opens doors that no one else can open. And he closes doors that no man can shut. Because God is showing us the way as we need to know it. We take one step at a time by faith. We walk by faith and not by sight. It's a life that is beyond measure. There's more than enough. It's superfluence. It's vehemently. It's amazing. Say amazing. Amazing life. Does that mean we're not going to have difficulties in life? Absolutely not. Jesus told us in this world, you are going to have trouble. Have you seen a little bit of trouble? You are going to have trouble, but be of good cheer because I overcame the world. John 6:63. The Spirit gives life. The flesh counts for nothing. The words I have spoken to you are spirit and they are life. So in this world of chaos and uncertainty, we're encouraged by Jesus not to be fearful, but we need to trust in God and trust in him. Hallelujah. He's the way. Let's give the Lord a praise this morning. He is the way, the truth, and the life. Thank you, Lord. And this morning we have some amazing testimonies. Last week, 6 people shared and more people came up to me and said, could I share? So at this time, I'm going to ask if Charlene will come on up and share her testimony. Yes, thank you, Lord, for Charlene.
Good morning, everyone. I'll try and make this short. I was brought up in a different religion. I even had an aunt that was a nun, but I didn't fully understand. And so I didn't go to church for a while. I met my husband, and we were married and had a wonderful family. But he started verbally abusing me, and I just couldn't take it. And then I found out he wasn't loyal to me. And so I finally left him after 35 years. And I turned to alcohol. Mm-hmm. And that just practically destroyed me. But thank God, I went searching for a different church, and I found the river, and I liked that the best. And the river has done so much for me. And so eventually I got a part-time job to help with finances because Social Security wasn't cutting it, and I totally enjoy being busy and working. So I ended up moving to a more expensive apartment, and I was working close to my apartment, and my new apartment had these weird steps going out to the patio, and I lost my balance and broke my foot, and I couldn't work for quite a while. And so I ended up losing my car, and I was behind on my bills. And like I said before, thank God for this church. It has helped me in so many ways. And my life is like the song we just sang, Amazing Grace. I was lost, but now I'm found. And I am truly very grateful. Thank you, Pastor Janet, Pastor Leonard, Pastor Toby. You've all, and everybody's meant a great deal to me. Thank you.
Thank you. We love you. We appreciate Charlene so much. And to watch God's work in her life has been amazing. Amen. Oh, at this time we have Sister April. She has a testimony this morning too.
Hi, everybody.
Hold it up a little bit more. There you go.
Anyways, on Wednesday night, the 11th of November, I was called to church and I had to leave early. My husband had been feeling sick all day, and we didn't know what a trip we were going on. But he said, you need to come home and take me to the emergency room because I need to go to the emergency room. I'm really sick and I'm in a lot of pain. When I left, he sounded totally okay. He says, I'll be fine. I just don't feel good. Well, after lots of tests and everything, they decided that he had pancreatitis, and a very severe case of pancreatitis. The emergency room doctors told us that the enzymes in your pancreas is between 200 and 300 at the max. And that night in the emergency room, his registered 22,254. We had a specialist tell us that it was one of the worst cases, if not the worst case he had ever seen. And none of the usual things that cause pancreatitis applied to Tom. And they said sometimes they don't even know what causes it or what sets it off like that. But I had been praying for 18 or 19 years for that man to get saved. And one day I just said, Lord, I said, whatever it takes. I said, you promised me he'd be saved. I want him to see salvation. And one day, overnight, he had blown up. If he had not known it, you'd have thought he gained 100 pounds overnight. He was so huge. And the doctor, I believe the doctor was a Christian, even though I didn't have a chance to talk to him, just by the way he acted and talked to Tom. And he told him, he said, you know, some people die from complications of this. And he said, you could die from this. Well, that put the fear of God in him. And a little bit later, I could see that he was scared, but I didn't say anything at the moment. And we went out. We had some other family members come in. And another good friend that was his group leader when he was a supervisor at the factory. God just put him on her heart, and last year she bought him a Bible out of the clear blue sky just to be a friend, and she's been telling him about Christ, and she asked if she could lead him to the Lord, and I said yes. And I told him, I said, it's about time we had a come to Jesus moment. And he finally accepted the Lord as a Savior, and I praise and thank God for that. And another quick testimony. First of all, too, he had a feeding tube put down him, and I told some people, and I need to correct this because I'm not sure about this part of it. It's when he was in Goshen, and we were, I was going home at night because we only live a couple miles from the hospital, and I had said, I was told that a new nurse had pulled out the feeding tube by accident, and other family members said, no, they heard this and such. So I don't know what the truth of the matter is about that part, except that the feeding tube was removed just the day after he had it put in. But anyways, he ended up being transferred to Fort Wayne Parkview Hospital, and I was following the ambulance because I didn't know where I was going. And I got to tell you, God protected me more ways than one. They averaged, and they didn't have the lights flashing, but they were going 15 and 20 miles an hour over the speed limit most of the way. And I was right on their tail, so I was speeding. I could have got a ticket at any time, but God forgave me for it. I've repented, but at the same time, he protected me all that time. And one time, the ambulance was so high and, you know, the car so low, we went sailing right through a red light, and I didn't even know it until it was half the way through the red light. So God protected me that way, and I just praise him and thank him. And in all my years of living on this earth, there was a time when I was a real agnostic, and I hated the things of God, I hated religion, and, you know, God has always been merciful and graceful. And so forgiving and so kind, even when I didn't understand stuff. And I can truly testify that everything that I've gone through, he has always been there with me. He has always made a way where there seems to be no way. And he's just blessed me beyond all my measure. And I just praise him and thank him for everything he's done for me in my life and for my family too.
Amen. God is amazing. Thank you, April. We rejoice with you. At this time, Sue Fries wanted to share something this morning. Sue is legally blind. Can you? There you go. Keep it up to your mouth.
Okay. First of all, thank you, Lord, for what you've done in the past, the present, and the future in my life, in my family's life. Mm-hmm. May 17, 1999, at 1:40 p.m., my son Nicholas Stutz fell off of a roof 40 feet and hit concrete at a work accident. He was not saved. And we went through a lot of trials and a lot of hospitalization. And after 3.5 months, God woke him up, and he was saved.
Wow.
And God has gone through and helped Nick tremendously with things, rebuilding his muscles and helping him. But I have taken care of Nick for 16 years, and God has given me the grace to do it, and I'm thanking God for everything that he's done with that, because God is there. Even when there is no hope, there is hope. And when I was in the hospital and praying for him, somebody came to me and they said, this is a word for you. Be still and know that I am God. Psalm 46. So I started proclaiming that, and I started saying that, and he woke up, and he's sitting over there now.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to thank God for my life. First of all, I want to say thank you to Pastor Janet, because she helped me when I came here to River. I was having some counseling problems, and we went through some things that I never even knew existed. Mm-hmm. And they were there, and she's such a big help to me. I'm so thankful. Mm-hmm. And I'm thankful for this church. Well, first of all, I want to thank my husband and my sons. They really have come around, and I have a good family. I'm thankful for that. But I'm thankful that you helped me, church, with when Dave had his stroke, that you drove me around, you helped me with things. That's awesome. Mm-hmm. That is so awesome. And I thank God for my dog, Harvard. He's just really a sweet dog. Mm-hmm. But I wanted to say one more thing. Thank you for extending your arm to me to help me walk through the church safely. Mm-hmm. I appreciate that very much. Amen. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you. We'll just help you out to your seat here. You want to go around that way? And we all know Nick is saved now, right? Hallelujah. We appreciate this family. Actually, I met them because Sue came to me with a counseling need. And that's how we met many years ago. And it's been amazing to watch God heal her mind. To heal her and restore her is amazing. She's an awesome intercessor. And we appreciate her and Nick so much. And I believe when Nick came first to this church, he was in a wheelchair. And so he's on a walker now, and he continues to get stronger, and so we thank God for that. Amen. Hallelujah. Amazing. Amazing. We have an amazing testimony from Elder James, if he can hop down from the soundboard, and then when Elder James is done, we're going to hear from Brother Tony. Come on down, James.
Thankful for God's hand of protection. Like 2 weeks ago, somebody in my Equinox, when I was doing my GE stuff, somebody backed into the side of the Equinox, pushed the fender in, so the passenger side door only opened about halfway. So I had that scheduled to get fixed. Then this past Thursday, I had a truck at an intersection drive over my driver's side fender over the wheel and everything. So it kind of crushed it in. I had to wait an hour to get, a tow truck, and I got a Dodge truck out there as a rental. So it's just those things that happen like that along the way. I'm just thankful for God's provision and protection, because, those things could always be a lot worse. You can't look at the negative. Well, it kind of set my day back. It changed my schedule. It's not all about that. It's about God's schedule, God's plan, God's purposes. And think about God's protection. Things could have been a lot worse. The truck could have ran over me, literally. It was a big truck fully loaded with a lot of heavy stuff. So, but, and also a blessing that too, the place that I went to, I was Del Monte Foods. One of the guys there, he knows that I have like 8 people in our house. We go through groceries like there's no tomorrow. It's like having even 2 or 3 teenagers, I guess, comparison. I don't know, but everybody's a lot. They gave us 196 cans that had slight dents in them. They gave them to me free for green beans, corn, and some pasta squeeze stuff for pizza stuff and that. So, out of that, there was a blessing in that. So I always look at all the positive things, the blessings that God's done, and I'm just very thankful for His hand there, His protection, His provision in the midst of everything. So,
amen.
Thank you.
Give the Lord a praise. We are thankful Elder James was able to walk down here this morning. Amen. God is amazing. At this time, I'm going to ask if the praise team will take their place, and we're going to have Brother Tony share his testimony.
Mine down. I'm the only one who wrote it down, but I want to make sure that I remembered what I was going to say. So I prayed about exactly how to word this. And the first part of my testimony is I'm thanking God for a 4-letter word, and that's love. Because when I first came to this place, the river, I did not know what love was. I was totally lost. Love to me was hurt and pain and rejection. And when somebody would tell me God is love, I'd be like, yeah, right. I don't understand that. I have no way of understanding or comprehending that. And in the first part of 1 Corinthians 13:4, it says, love is patient, love is kind. And I want to thank Pastors Leonard and Apostle Janet for being patient and kind with me, because when I first came here, I was a mixed up person. I really needed a lot of deliverance, and I needed a lot of help. At the time, I didn't really know how to love my wife, who really needed my love. I mean, our roles were really reversed. She had to wear the pants in the family, more or less, because I was so lost, I didn't know left from right. And I went through a lot of my deliverance because of these two. They weren't afraid to deliver me and set me free, and I thank the Lord for that. But I'm thankful that through the years for this River family, this love has helped guide me, shape me, and mold me into what the Lord has wanted me to become. This love kept me still and not running anymore. This love has showed me the truth of who I really was and whose image I was really created in. This love has shown me gifts that I never even knew were there. This love showed me what true fatherly and motherly love was really all about.
Thank you.
I am thankful for a River family that knows what love really is. And most of all, for the love from my Heavenly Father who loves me unconditionally.
Amen. Let's give the Lord a praise. Thank you.